American corporations are profiting, but for how long?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. So many Americans have suffered in the big slowdown, but corporations, they've been doing quite well. It's not because their sales are gangbusters. They're not. It's because they've laid off workers and otherwise generally cut back on their costs. Well, earnings season starts this week, so we're about to find out how those profits are holding up. Marketplace's Elisa Roth asks, how long can companies keep profiting if consumers can't afford their products?
Americans have finally figured out they need to save money, which is great, except being too thrifty creates other problems. Tim Quinlan is an economist at Wells Fargo.
You're not keeping the economic cycle going, and you have a very, very slow recovery. And we're already experiencing that here.
Companies have managed to do well since the recession, mostly because they made themselves more efficient, and they kept those austerity measures in place after the immediate crisis ended. The question is how much longer companies can keep making money without Americans buying more of their products. Brian Gendreau is a market strategist at Financial Network. He says some companies are learning not to count on us as much as they used to.
Companies really have refocused a lot of their efforts on serving overseas markets.
Nobody's predicting Americans are suddenly going to start spending again. So for now, the companies that are more likely to keep bringing in profits are the ones with big sales abroad. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
There's a report out today measuring the environmental impact of the world's 3,000 biggest companies and how much that impact costs investors. It was commissioned by a United Nations program for responsible investing. Marketplace's Eve Tro is with us live to tell us about it. Hi, Eve.
Hi.
So when you look at 3,000 huge companies, I'm going to guess you don't see a positive impact on the environment, but what's the toll?
The study found that environmental damage, so pollution, deforestation, and the like, cost more than $2 trillion worldwide. And for the companies that cause that damage, it says more than half of their profits are vulnerable. So think about BP. After the big oil spill, their profits plunged. And now investors want to put a number on that kind of potential risk. I talked to Kerry Krasinski at Trucost. That's the company that did this study. And he says this report helps investors do that.
Looking at the total damage costs coming from global business, what portion of that is coming from the companies that they own, and what can they do about it?
Well, I have another question for you. What can investors do about it?
Well, investors can influence the companies they own. And this report tells investors, hey, here's how much of your money is on the line if these companies do the same kind of damage they're doing now. So to gauge if companies are improving, though, investors need information that's not always available, like emissions or safety practices. And this report encourages them to demand a lot more of that.
Okay, but wouldn't it be easier just to not invest in, you know, oil or mining if you want to avoid environmental risk?
When we're talking about major mutual funds, that's just not realistic, Bill. These industries do exist. They make a lot of money, and they're not going to go away. But what this report does is push investors to value companies more or less depending on their risk, and then that gets companies to compete to see who can be the most green, because that's what investors want to see.
Very interesting. Marketplace's Eve Tro. Eve, thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Now let's do some numbers. Stocks are higher pretty much everywhere this morning, especially in Japan. Today, Japan's central bank cut its key interest rate to virtually zero. All these countries virtually printing money, well, that helps explain why gold is at another record high, about $1,327 an ounce today. Yesterday on Wall Street, the Dow Industrials lost 78 points. The close was 10,751.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. By Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at NovoNordisk-US.com. And by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com.
Jill Biden, wife of the vice president, hosts the first ever White House Summit on Community Colleges today in Washington. The Obama administration is banking on these low-cost schools to help raise college graduation rates and retrain unemployed workers. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
President Obama wants community colleges to graduate 5 million more students by the year 2020. But graduation rates at the schools are notoriously low. Thomas Bailey directs the Community College Research Center at Teachers College in New York. He hopes today's summit will help change that.
I don't think there's any question that colleges can do a better job. And we hope that with attention, with, you know, better research foundation, that they'll be able to do that.
Supporters of community colleges say graduation rates don't tell the whole story because so many of their students transfer to four-year colleges. But Northwestern University professor James Rosenbaum says that's part of the problem. Community colleges are focused on steering students toward bachelor's degrees, a process he says often takes 6 to 10 years.
It's a long slog for these students to get through to the BA, and we don't currently give them intervening credentials that have any value in the labor market, and we should be doing that.
Community college leaders say they do give students valuable job skills. Jack Quinn is president of Erie Community College in Buffalo. He says his school has teamed up with a power company to train workers to climb utility poles.
Every single one of these 17 who are in the training program after a year will go to work at close to $20 an hour or more.
The Obama administration wants more partnerships like this. The president announced a new initiative yesterday to connect community colleges with local employers. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, British researchers have come up with a nonstick chewing gum. The company got a $15 million grant from investors to develop a special polymer that will not adhere permanently to sidewalks and theater seats and picnic tables. Could be profitable. A 10-pack of gum will sell for $1.70, which the CEO says is Willy Wonka with pharmaceutical margins. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. You know that every time you swipe a rewards card at the store or you like your favorite brand on Facebook, you're helping marketers build your consumer profile? Find out what your lifestyle category is with the Marketplace Consumer Profiler at Marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.